You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face and the Habitual Liar.
Our next guest, you know these guys from Grantland. They work together on Shea Serrano's show, Primo. Six Trophies is their NBA podcast. You can catch it wherever you get podcasts. It's Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion. Look at that.
What up, baby?
Super early after spending the night watching TNT basketball.
Yeah.
Well, how much coffee you got in you, Jason?
None. This is just the pure love of the game.
High on life. Got it. Let me start with the Celtics and the Suns. I was talking to the guys here and told them that Joe Mazzulla at
Joey.
One point came out and contested the Royce O'Neal.
Come on.
After
what's that?
After
what's
the
that?
Whistle. Is that inspired coaching?
Come on.
Or is that insanity?
I mean, it's funny, and I'm glad it happened, but you can't. What are you doing? What's going on? Come on, Joe.
I kind of feel like he's painted himself into a corner where either he's the coaching genius that everyone will bend the knee to, or he's going to get fired very soon. Because you can't be that eccentric and not win.
There's no in between.
You got to win. You got to win.
Yeah.
They have to win a championship. If you win the championship, then doing all of that goofy stuff makes sense. And you're like, oh, it worked. Pat Riley dunking his head into the bucket full of water and holding his breath. Like, it worked. It makes sense. But if you lose, then it doesn't. Then you're like, what? All right. All right, Pat, Joe. You got it.
But Pat didn't bring the bucket to the sidelines, you know? I do think that there is something of the Pat Riley approach to Joe. I think he's trying to be like, hey, like, we got to be ruthless. We got to be crazy. We got to do Brazilian jiu-jitsu like in the arena. You can't let guys just have free shots, even if it's after the whistle. Like, we are going for the championship. We got to watch the town 500 times a day and just be about it. And I think that's probably where this comes from. That said, that was just, what if he slipped and fell? That's what I was thinking. what if he came down like on a guy's foot and then twisted his ankle and is out?
Zaza.
What if that happened, Joe?
It'd be a different story. Yes, we agree. An entirely different story. But it didn't happen. But Shay, don't you think like the guy that fans are going to come down on is not Mazzulla? It's going to be Jason Tatum. Now, Amin might be right, because you can't get rid of Jason Tatum. You can fire Joe Mazzulla. But Tatum's going to take the heat if the Celtics don't win it, right?
Tatum absolutely will. Jason and I were just talking about that on the show this past week. After their game against the Nuggets, he had like 15 points or something. He just didn't look right. that you were on the Celtics subreddit and they're just ripping him to shreds. Like that's what they do. That's the guy that they go to, which makes sense. That's your best player. That's the guy who's supposed to deliver the championship. And if he doesn't deliver the championship, even more than the coach, that's who Celtics fans will go after. It's him first for sure. He's always at, you know, he's the point of that arrowhead.
I don't know, man. I just feel like when Mazzulla does things like that, then it's just, there's no other logic. Everyone's going to say, well, if they had like a normal coach.
they've had a normal coach, though. The normal coach didn't work either.
How about if they had a star that could shoot in crunch time?
Ooh, ouch. Right.
Oh, but second star, it's a little overblown, left. Though. Yeah. I mean, but the Brown's been amazing over the last, for the entire season. And the left thing has not been as big of an issue. Turnovers haven't been as big of an issue. To me, it's like, listen, they blow teams out. They're a historic regular season team. They're killing teams. Their net rating is like plus 11 something. The issue is close games. Like what is the game plan in close games? Denver has a thing that they go to and it works every time, that, you know, the Jokic Murray pick and roll. What do the Celtics do? And I think part of this is a function of the fact that they blow everybody out. They don't really get to practice the clutch close game execution, and that's where it feels the most shaky.
That's an awesome take, that the reason why they're not good at close games is because they don't have enough practice at it. Like, hey, I'm never in a close game situation.
They've played in a ton over the last couple of years.
No, not enough, Stugatz. Not enough to figure it out.
Never enough.
Jaylen Brown liked this tweet recently. It was a tweet that said, if Jaylen Brown was the number one on a team, he would average over 30 a game and be in the MVP conversation, which is my favorite bar of them all, the MVP conversation bar, not to be confused with that hack. What's his name? What's that hack's name over at
Nick
Fox?
Wright.
Nick Wright. There you go. I forget his name because I don't know his content.
It's like a nightclub or something, an MVP nightclub.
Yeah,
or something.
He stole my idea.
I mean, it's an easy name.
The MVP conversation bar. Should Jaylen Brown be admitted into the MVP conversation bar, Jason Concepcion, would he be on his own team?
If he was on his own team, yeah, I think he'd be in the conversation. He'd be in the top five MVP candidate.
How good of a
conversation?
How good of a team would
What's
it?
That?
How good of a team would it be?
They'd be like a. If he was the best player, they'd probably be like a fourth, fifth seed. They'd be pretty good with a puncher's chance.
No, I think
chance.
They're seven. If he was on his own team, it would be a Luka situation where he would be getting crazy numbers. And that's why we're going to talk about him in the MVP conversation. But the team is a seventh seed. Like, they're not going to win the championship is how that goes.
They're not going to win the championship.
Wow.
I'll
go one further. I don't even think he'd be in the MVP conversation. I think he'd put up crazy numbers. I think he'd like 30, that, yes. But the difference between him and Luka is Luka passes. Luka passes really well, right? And Jaylen Brown passes, but not well enough to lift a team, I think, beyond, like you said, a six or a seven, Shay. I don't think they win 50 games if he was the best player on the team.
Wow.
I think that's like a 47-win team.
His passing's been better this season.
Better.
You know, he makes the easy pass, and I think he makes it pretty well. To be fair to him, it's also like not his role to be like that playmaker guy. Jaylen, don't forget this. I believe in you. I believe you can win 50 games as the best player. Don't forget that.
All right. They beat the Suns, as we said last night. The Suns are currently tied for seventh in the West. Is this a case, Shay, of time running out, or is this a tiger waiting to pounce?
The Suns? No, yeah. That time is over. It's past. As soon as Giannis blocked Ayton in the finals, that was like, all right, this window has slammed shut. They're not doing it this year. They're not going to do it. And it's just gotten progressively worse since then. As good as it feels like they should be, I think all of us are like, because we've been watching them for so long, because we've been watching Durant, Book, Beal and Durant more than Book, but it's like we sort of automatically subtract 4 years from their playing career, and we're just like, this is 2017, it's 2018, Kevin Durant, this is 2017, 2018, Bradley Beal, but they're not going to do anything. They're not scary at all. Jason and I talk a bunch about Which of the teams are you afraid of if you're on a different team? And I don't think anybody right now is afraid of the Phoenix Suns. Like, you would happily play them in the playoffs.
I would disagree from this standpoint, guys. The Suns, like, the teams you're looking at in the West, they've never done it. Talk about not playing in big games. Oklahoma mm-hmm. City, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Clippers, the Pelicans, the Sacramento Kings. If the Suns play any of those teams, I'd take them to win that series. Not Denver, but those other teams.
Yeah.
Interesting. I just think the that core has never played. This is their first year playing together. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really hard to do, is be a championship level team that goes mm-hmm. that even gets the conference finals. And this is your first year playing together. I think that's really difficult. And the eye test and the record test tells me that it's just too high a mountain to climb anyway. Like, they really need to start collecting some of these wins, and it just feels like it's not going to happen. You're waiting for that other gear, and you don't see it.
Yeah, last night was a perfect example. The game starts. Kevin Durant is playing incredible, and you're like, oh, cool. If Kevin Durant hangs 50, maybe the Suns can win. But then the shot started, the second half starts. They just start falling further, and all of a sudden they're down by 20 points. And you're like, what the heck just happened? Like, they're missing that beat. They're missing that piece of it right now. I don't think it's there.
You guys have a top five for us. Top five forgotten Phoenix Suns.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Now, just to counterpoint, Stu Gatz has also come up with his own top five.
Yeah, I have top five Suns we'll never forget. How about that?
Okay. Never forget. Okay.
Yeah. So this is what we're going to do. You guys are going to say five, then Stu Gatz is going to say five, then four, and we'll alternate and we'll play a little fanfare in the middle.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Here we go. All Let's right. go.
Who's Say first? Number right. five.
Oh, number five.
Who? Thank you.
Shay and Jason first. Yeah, go.
Yeah.
Okay. Truck Robinson.
It's a great one. Wow.
That's a great
I forgot
name.
He was a son.
Number five, Stu Gatz.
Tom Chambers.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, stole one of ours.
What? How could he be forgotten?
Monster dunk on Mark Jackson.
Number four.
Wow. Big O, Oliver Miller.
Oh. Yes.
Number four, Stu Gatz.
Dan Marley, Thunder Dan.
Refresh my drink for a second. So there's his Suns that...
Refresh my drink.
Forgotten.
Forgotten.
And forgotten Phoenix Suns. Mine are top five Suns we'll never forget.
Just making sure.
Okay, okay.
Number three, okay. Shay and Jason.
Dick Van Arsdale.
Oh, the original Sun.
Van Arsdale brothers.
Number three, Stu Gatz.
Amari Stoudemire.
Standing tall and talented.
Hello.
Number two, Jason and Shay.
Technically a Minnesota forgotten legend, but I'm going to call him a Suns forgotten legend, Thomas Gugliotta. Tom Gugliotta, Long Island legend.
Yes. Well, saw him a couple weeks ago.
Good one. Yeah.
Number two, Stu Gatz.
Kevin Johnson.
Okay.
And the number one forgotten Phoenix Sun, according to Shay Serrano and Jason Concepcion, is?
My favorite Phoenix Suns player of all time, Raja Bell.
Raj. FIU pulls up. Killian stands up.
That's my vet.
Hopefully his son comes to the U.
The number one son, Stu Gatz, that you will never forget.
Charles Barkley.
Where's Cedric Sabalas?
Cedric Sabalas? Where's Steve Nash?
Ah, Nash.
Two-time Cedric MVP. Sabalas.
Too many teams.
Cedric Sabalas has the blindfold on. He's running around. He can't find his way to the arena.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don Levitard.
Chris Cody does an impression. Just be careful.
Dangerous game. This is a dangerous game.
I don't want to play this game.
No, he was saying, man, I could do such a great Kendrick.
No,
Perkins.
I don't want to play this game.
He's like, man, I this could talk is
who
just
we're gonna,
like him.
This is who we're going to trust
with
this.
I mean, you
this.
Do it. Let's let Amin do it, I think.
Stugatz.
I think you could do it, Chris, because you did a great Charles Barkley. You're one for one there.
Did no Stugatz one just two. Hear the segment we just did with Amin? We cannot be
Amin's
taking
judgment is not the
counsel
best.
From the local drunk on whether or not you should do the impersonation of a black man stumbling over his words. Like, you don't see the bad in that.
There it was.
Moses Moody? Moody Moses? Moses Moody?
You need that. It sounds
Chris.
Worse.
Be careful, man.
We gotta, like, we cannot do this. It's too close to the line. This is where the line is. Something legitimately funny can't be funny because we're scared our ginger's going to do something racist by accident.
Carry the hell on, Dan.
Rachel.
Dan, the line is where we feel alive, though.
This is the Dan Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Guys, I want to play a game I like to call, it's a new game. I don't think we've ever played it before. It's called Too Soon? Question mark? All right, so we have tonight at 5:30. Is that tonight or this evening? Today at 5:30. St. John's and UConn playing in the Big East tournament.
Wow.
It's a big matchup.
It's a classic.
Wow. Yes. The Garden. Wow.
No, this is a classic. Like, this takes me back to a time where the Big East meant something, where UConn and St. John's actually meant something. Georgetown and Pitt actually meant something. Syracuse versus Georgetown or Seton Hall meant something. This feels like that. This is pretty cool. So Pitino out for blood.
In our first edition of Too Soon? Question mark. We're going to listen to Rick Pitino here being asked what UConn has to do. No, what St. John's has to do to beat UConn?
UConn tomorrow, what do you have to do to knock them off?
We got to have about six of their players get COVID.
Thank you, coach. Congratulations.
Too soon?
Was that taken in his crypt? You guys see that?
And I asked you guys, too soon?
Like COVID jokes?
No, not too soon.
No, it's been 50 years.
Yeah,
it's
been 50
years. The more important part is, look how Rick Pitino changed the outcome of St. John's season. He roasted everybody in that press conference, said he had no people that can move laterally. He said he had bums on the team. He didn't recruit them. They suck. All of a sudden, fighting for a spot in the Big East.
Some 20 Pete Bell. CB coaching.
Talk to him.
Pete Bell.
Shout out to Coach Pete Bell of Western. Remember them? Stugatz had a great run in the tournament.
No.
No, you don't remember Pete Bell?
No.
Oh, okay.
And that was the first installment of Too Soon.
Neon Badeau at center. He's dominant.
I can't get over.
Oh, Neon Badeau.
I can't get over the Johnnies and UConn doing battle in the Big East Conference tournament at MSG. I could that.
Goosebumps.
May need my wife to go out of town for this one.
Yeah.
So I can watch it with sound.
Can't get her into Pitino?
Yeah. Tell her you're going to watch a vampire movie.
That is a tough sell.
Hey, we're going to watch Dracula tonight.
What is the toughest sell? Because I maintain Tony trying to sell his wife on watching Pascal Siakam is the toughest of sports sells to your wife. It is. Hey, honey, let's sit down and watch Siakam.
This guy Halliburton, crazy shot, but he's good.
You haven't laid out your Friday night plans, which include highlight.
You guys are the best husbands ever. I'm going to say that right now.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Dan sits in this seat and he roasts you guys mercilessly for your relationships. But I'm here to say I've met, I think everyone's significant other. Most of them. I haven't met Abby. That's not true. Okay. But from what I know about you guys, wonderful, wonderful significant others. You guys do a great job, and they're lucky to have you guys. How about that?
That's right.
I don't know about that.
Don't play modest now, Roy.
I do think my wife's very lucky.
Well, I didn't say lucky. Did I say lucky?
Yeah, you did. You said they're lucky to have us.
Lucky might have been too far.
I think nailed right on the head.
Blessed.
Now, blessed.
It's a two-way street, but you know sometimes it should require some acknowledgement that I'm quite the catch, too.
Give and a take. It's the guts. What was that laugh?
Mike being quite the take.
Well, just
quite
like,
the get.
Have some respect for yourselves.
Right.
You know?
I mean, by the way, you've met Abby.
Have I?
Moss event, yeah.
Oh, man.
Come you were
on,
drunk.
Man.
It's okay.
Come on, man.
You can't oh, expect
that's
me
fair. That's
to
not
remember.
Fair.
That does not count.
You're right.
I have a question for you, Amin.
Yes.
I know the answer. But I want to ask
those are the best
you.
Questions.
Smart man said, game. Never
Dude,
ask yes. a question you don't already
Dude,
know
Jeopardy
the answer
style.
To. His questions are the best questions.
Say the answer, and then he asks the question.
Oh, okay.
So Jason Kelce is having a moment, correct?
My good friend Jason Kelce, yeah.
Is he your good friend?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Then I want to...
No, go ahead. Ask the question.
I want to pass along my condolences to you then as well, because Jason Kelce's beloved dog Winnie has passed away.
Oh,
man, that stinks.
Hate it when dogs go, man.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Now, here's kind of my question,
uh-huh.
respectfully, and maybe this is a new segment of Too Soon.
Oh, no.
Again?
Jason Kelce's dog passing away.
Yes.
Worthy of a TMZ story?
Yeah.
No. It
depends on what the time of the
It's a slow day
is.
For TMZ. It was today. Today's the day.
Today?
They would acknowledge
that. That surname does numbers.
Yeah.
It's
sorry.
Not even editorially, no. Is it worth it? It's all about traffic.
Did they work
days.
Swift into the article?
They
at all?
Had to. They so, had to.
Yeah.
There's no chance. There's
well,
no
is
mention.
It indeed an article on
there
TMZ?
Actually, yeah, there actually
there's
is.
An article. If
you, I'm still going down here, and somehow, in fact, the brothers just bought her something about a zoo date with Taylor Swift
there
and Travis
go.
Has
there
nothing
go.
To do with the dog.
Yeah. You know what? Everyone says Travis is so lucky to have Taylor, and he is. But Taylor, you're lucky to have Travis.
Yeah,
thoughtful
there,
guy.
There are just certain yep. people that do numbers.
Jason's lucky to have both.
Sydney yeah. Sweeney does numbers. Sydney Sweeney has an upcoming horror movie.
Well, she's a good actress.
No, she's an amazing actress.
Everyone's entitled to their opinions. But if you go to the IG page for
That's
this
nice
upcoming, if you go to the IG page for this upcoming release, they're very calculated.
Yes, are they?
That the name Sydney Sweeney has to appear in every post. It is like I forget the name of the movie.
She's in the movie.
Such and such, but it's starring Sydney Sweeney.
Of course,
it's just to get traffic because she is such a magnet for traffic these days.
Mike, it's no different than when you see like you know someone in the movie. They win an Oscar, and the very next movie they're in says Academy Award winner, right? Remember when Halle Berry won
this
the Oscar?
That.
The very next movie she had was Gothica, which is a terrible movie.
But it's starring Academy Award winner. Yeah, that's a marketing thing, but this is just starring Sydney Sweeney. Because
she's a huge star.
Like, it's a bigger deal that she's in the movie than the movie existing
of
itself.
Of course, it
this
is.
This is about popularity as well.
Yeah.
She's
nothing
really
to do with acting.
She's right. really having a moment.
Is that what we're doing? Marketing 101 here? Yeah, you mentioned the famous
people. No, but every single post.
Of course.
Every single post is more so, like, the movie is, like, not even really important.
What's the name of the movie? Look up the name of the movie.
You think it's Immaculate?
Starring Sydney
Immaculate, starring Sydney Sweeney.
But he's saying it's not because she's a great actor, it's because she is popular. It's like the Hawks. Why would you market anyone else other than Trae Young? He's not a great basketball player, but he's all you got.
No. This would be the NBA starring Trae Young, is basically like
no,
what's happening right
no.
now with Sydney Sweeney.
It's
an unbelievable run
because
that she's having.
Who else is in the cast?
And
I'll tell you.
I don't quite understand the run that she is having.
I understand it.
I mean,
did you watch?
Obvious.
Yeah, look. Did you watch? What's it called? White Lotus. She was awesome in that.
Yeah, I watched White Lotus.
Did you watch? Euphoria?
She was awesome in that.
Euphoria. Yes, she was. Awesome
I did watch both. Euphoria, and so like
awesome
I've seen Euphoria in doses. And I was like, okay, so this has a very certain style of acting in Euphoria. Everyone has to kind of act like that.
It's an A24 movie.
And then I watched Sydney Sweeney act in a rom-com, and she was acting the exact same way that she was acting in Euphoria. And I was like, oh, okay.
That movie was bad, by the way.
The movie with Glenn Powell?
So bad.
So bad. Movie was bad. I thought she was pretty good in it, though.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And also Madame Web.
The movie was pretty bad because she was in it.
One of the only redeeming qualities of Madame Web. Was Sydney Sweeney?
You saw Madame Web?
No, I haven't. But I know that one of the redeeming qualities.
Movies you watch for the wrong reasons. Movies you watch for the wrong reasons.
Everything with Sydney Sweeney in
Swordfish is up there for me.
Well,
Swordfish is awesome, though.
Swordfish.
No, it was a good movie.
Swordfish is great.
He
has to hack while getting
that.
Oral.
Hold but on. It's a movie that I found for the wrong reasons. I was like,
Chris, remember that scene?
Chris, let me tell you about
what
Hollywood.
Because Halle
it's
Berry.
Shit. Utter, unremarkable shit.
That's
Take Dog Day Afternoon.
That scene is wild,
that scene, John Travolta tests Hugh Jackman's chops.
So good.
He's like, yeah, you can hack, but can you hack while getting filleted?
And also with a gun to your head.
Yeah, like, I don't have enough going on here.
That part he was used to.
Like,
though.
Honestly, how do you even... Like, one of the two things has to not be going properly.
You, lock
when
in.
You know, got that kind of pressure on you.
You know what I was so confused by is...
Swordfish is such a file.
Why
me.
Would he not want to release? Like, okay, like, you could still hack and just go, right? Like, that wasn't the terms of the thing. The terms of just hack in. Like, why is that added pressure?
I love watching, like, those movies from the late 90s and their interpretation of hacking.
Hacking, oh, my God. 20 just, CB, baby.
It's just the best.
The professor from Money Heist is in this immaculate movie.
Oh, yeah, he is.
See,
He's Father Sal Tadusky.
Give me another actor's name. You still have a name of someone who's in that movie.
There's not really much of them.
That's why you say Sidney Sweeney every post.
Niccolo Sanni.
Okay, so nobody knows who that is. Right?
I guess I don't really recognize
this. Oh, wait, a very Italian cast, by the way.
She's getting mentioned, right?
No, the girl from the other season of White Lotus is in this too, right?
Aubrey Plaza?
No, Simona. Right?
Oh, the Italian girl?
Yeah, the Italian girl.
Again, Italian movie. Again, Giorgio Collante.
So what you're telling me is marketing. We're going to market the person that people have actually heard of.
Well, the thing is, you can't, like, in this thing, be like, oh, that girl that's in the White Lotus is in it. Like, you can't say it like that. Or you can't be like, oh, the professor from Money Heist is
great,
in it.
He was great, though.
Yeah, but no one knows his name here.
Billy, you could.
I'm wrong here? She's really good at what she does?
Well, I want to answer Billy's movie. Question. No, Billy, you could if it were a black play. Because in black plays, Roy, don't they always say, like, starring the cop from That's My Mama? Like, they do that in black plays all the time when they want to get people out. Like
Lawrence Hilton Jacobs.
Yeah. Starring the daddy from the Jackson 5 movie. but no, you're right. You can't, for a great movie or a big movie, you can't just say, hey, remember her from this show. You got to say the name that people are going to recognize, Sydney Sweeney.
To Mike's point also, like, the poster just says Sydney Sweeney, immaculate.
Yeah.
So, like, I think the movie's called Immaculate.
Now,
Sydney Sweeney's above the title.
Go to the IG page for Immaculate, and it's just pretty funny how they decide to format these things.
Oh, I'm looking at she's a star of the trailer.
She's a major star now.
Okay, so what are you fighting here?
Well, I guess, you know what? You're right.
Her face is
the star above the title.
It's crazy we're at that point, but yeah, okay.
Why wouldn't we be at that point?
Yeah, why is it crazy she's a movie star?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, please. The class would like to know, Michael.
He made it clear he doesn't think she's a great actor.
I don't personally rate.
I don't like when any movie has like the star above the title. Like it's just a movie. Like why does this need to be?
No, I need Liam Neeson's name up
yes.
in the
credits.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I know exactly what I'm getting into.
Have you?
But that's Liam Neeson. He's fortified in a tremendous. He was a thespian before an actor. Yes.
I was trying to help you out, Mike.
You ever seen the poster for Retribution? It's just him looking scared. It says Liam Neeson.
Yeah, I can't. It can't be Beekeeper. It has to be Jason Statham.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
so guys, have you seen the trailer for Beekeeper?
No, I have not.
What, in the break, I will play it for you because this.
No Hard Feelings has to have Jennifer Lawrence.
What is that?
It's bees.
I don't know.
Oh, those are bees. Oh, the bees! Oh my God, not the bees!
Did you guys watch what happened in Indian Wells last night?
The bees!
No, what happened?
Oh my God, not the bees!
You were watching Indian Wells
last
night?
Yeah, Sydney was out of town last night. yeah.
My boy's locked in.
Yeah. No,
That's late, though, Indian Wells, right?
Well, it was a 6 o'clock Eastern start time.
All right.
Alcaraz was playing, and I tuned in, and I was at a sports bar, and it was a bunch of different things were going on, and I thought that they were showing B-roll, and I saw, B-roll.
Hey!
There was a two-hour delay. There was a two-hour delay because there was a swarming of bees. They attacked Alcaraz, the judge, and then this renegade showed up with a vacuum with no gloves, and he just got rid of them all.
He sucked them all up.
Hey, yo.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Don Levitard.
Fans cheer that type of stuff. Tom Brady went down with an Achilles the only time he got hurt in his entire career, and I was fist pumping in my living room at home because the Jets finally had a chance to win a division. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that is one of the most amazing sentences you've ever uttered.
Stugatz.
From the maker of Trust Me, Don't Trust Me. comes, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to apologize. You are amazing.
Thank you. I know.
You are a flabbergasting delight. You happen upon genius comedy by accident.
That's my gift.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
Stugats, yesterday on the show,
yeah.
I demanded Dan make an apology to Charlotte Wilder because she said bet on the Pistons and because of Taj Gibson, and Dan thought that was preposterous, and then, of course, the Pistons won the game, and I said, she deserves an apology from Dan, and not just a national apology, an international apology, and I thought everyone was going to crack up, and nobody got the reference.
Right.
So I realized that we've got to set this whole thing up, because Isaiah Thomas...
The rare setup after the joke.
Exactly.
Ride with Thomas.
A day later.
A day later. No better time than the 24 hours in the future.
Mm-hmm. So back to Zeke.
Zeke was on Draymond Green's podcast, and he said Michael Jordan owes him an apology, and I want to play the clip right now so you can hear him.
Where is your relationship at today, and is that salvageable?
Dude, no.
Not salvageable.
This dude got on national television, international television, and called me an asshole, somebody who's been really good to him. And until he apologizes on international television, we ain't no conversation. You can't apologize and have a private dinner when you didn't embarrass me publicly. If you didn't mean it, say it publicly. Now, if you meant it, let it stand.
Now I get it.
So his airness needs to go on Canal Plus.
Plus. Canal Plus.
Sorry.
International TV.
International television.
Right.
Sugats, does Michael Jordan owe Zeke an international apology?
Zeke needs to get over it, man. The fact that he's still going on podcasts and shows and demanding Michael make some sort of apology that he knows he's never going to make. Michael's not apologizing to him. Michael doesn't apologize to anyone, nor should he.
I let me stick up for Zeke here. He gets asked this question. He doesn't come in and say, I want to talk about Michael Jordan. They ask him the question. And so he answers. He answers it truthfully.
I understand that. So maybe it's on Draymond for asking a question that he's been asked 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Like the most cliche. Like, if you have Isaiah Thomas on, one of the first 5 things you're writing down, Michael Jordan, apology. Which means it's a bad question because it's been asked 1,000 times. Actually, I'm going to go off on Draymond here. That is a terrible joke. You want to have a podcast that is different, that stands out, because there are a billion podcasts out there. Don't ask the same questions we all ask of Isaiah Thomas. You're Draymond Green. You want to be different? Be different. You want to be different? Ask different questions than I would ask of Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. So if Isaiah Thomas were a guest on this show, what would you ask him?
I would ask him, does Michael Jordan owe you an international apology? I mean.
Now, there's another clip, Stugats.
Yes.
And this one, I believe, was tailor-made for you. Can we roll that clip?
Michael Jordan's last All-Star game, I coached his last All-Star game. Vince Carter had won the starting spot. I took Vince Carter aside, and I convinced him to give his spot to Michael Jordan. I never knew this dude felt the way he felt until the last dance.
Wow, really?
I'm like, all these years, you've been standing behind a tree throwing stones and letting somebody else take the fall for it. Had I known you felt that way, I definitely would have treated you differently. Hey, I only know how people are with me when they treat me. Now, some people will say, well, why didn't you shake his hand? The champions, they always left the court. And then they would come into your locker room after the game and shake your hand and say congratulations. That's how it goes. Chicago, they're the only champion that still cries about somebody not shaking their hand.
All right, Stugats, I want to lead off. There were 3 things that he said
right
in that video. Number one is, I'm the one that convinced Vince Carter to give up his starting spot to Michael Jordan. Number 2 is, I didn't know Michael Jordan felt that way about me until I watched The Last Dance.
That's ridiculous.
And number 3 is, hey, back in my day, the champs would never shake your hand, but they would come into the locker room afterward. Now, that last one, I can tell you, specifically the Celtics did that to the Pistons in 88 when they beat the Pistons beat the Celtics in 88.
Right.
They didn't shake their hands on the court. They walked off, and then later on they came in the locker room and congratulated them. And I know
they walked off early while the game was still going on.
They walked off early.
Okay.
I think McHale was the only guy that stayed out.
Did they have the same looks on their faces? Because, you know, it was a thing. No, when the Pistons did it.
It was a thing when the Celtics did it, but nobody made it a thing. And so
is this a two Americas?
I'm going to defend him on. Well, that's his assertion, is that you guys didn't have a problem when the Celtics did it.
The second point is, I can't believe that.
It's laughable.
Okay, so no.
Where he didn't know, he was left off a dream team because everyone kind of knew this.
And he started complaining right then and there. So, I mean, he knew.
He knew.
Wait, so which one do you think is a larger untruth? Is it, I didn't know that Michael felt that way about me until I watched The Last Dance? Or is it, I'm the one that convinced Vince Carter to give up his starting spot to Michael Jordan, even though they both played at Carolina?
I would say it's easy. Like him saying that he didn't know how Michael Jordan felt about him, he's known that forever.
We should ask Vince Carter that, or someone should. Someone needs to ask Vince Carter, because it could be that he was a voice in Vince Carter's ear, but there were other people maybe relaying this message. Everything that I knew about the whole Dream Team thing was that Isaiah Thomas was very aware that he wasn't on the Dream Team because Michael had an issue with him.
It is a fascinating claim to make. And so, Stugatz, I'm going to ask you to make a similar type of claim right now. No prep. He does not know I'm going to ask him this question. I'm filibustering right now so you can figure it out. Make a claim about your employment here on the Dan Levitard Show with Stugatz that would look as patently absurd as, I didn't know Michael Jordan didn't like me until The Last Dance.
Really? You're asking me to do this?
On the spot, because I want to test your mettle. You are the world's greatest liar, Stugatz, as trumpeted by so many people, including me.
Gotta be behind. Maybe he's behind Trump.
Thank you, Chris.
Why you got to bring it down, man?
I appreciate that.
We're having fun.
I'm not comfortable doing this, I have to be honest with you.
You're not comfortable lying?
Well, I mean, that's where I'm most comfortable, but I mean.
That might have been the lie right there. I'm not comfortable doing this.
Like, all right, it's him, then Trump.
You want me to go off on like how Levitard doesn't wind up here if it's not for me? I'm the reason he's here. Dan wanted the end. He keeps saying Dan and Stu, and I keep saying, no, it's okay. Dan with Stu was fine enough. Yeah, I'm not going to do that, man.
No?
I'm not going to do that. How badly I felt at the beginning of Meadowlark when I learned my percentage of the company. No, I'm not going to do that, man. I'm just not going to do that. I can't do that. I mean, that piece of shit. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. It's a Friday. I'm feeling good. Headed into a Friday, I mean.
Abby's not home.
Gummies, Publix.
The
White
Island
Castle
Green.
Sliders.
The Island Green.
I got it all. The Island Green. I got it all. I'm not going to say anything bad about Dan.
The 16th hole?
Oh, yeah.
What's this dude's problem, by the way?
We had some laughs.
Rory.
The 16th hole?
Rory is just a dope. It's a thing with him. With
really
the rules,
is.
Always, every freaking tournament, there's something with the rules with this guy.
There is.
And it is real confusing to try to explain everything that happened yesterday with Rory, but it just, the takeaway is, there's something going on with that guy. Keep an eye on him.
Try to explain it, because I think everyday, like, average weekend golfers, they would understand this, because we do this all the time.
Right. Yeah.
You're not supposed to do it on the PGA Tour.
He hit a ball out of bounds early in the round. And he took a drop. And apparently the drop from Victor Hovland and Justin Thomas, they were a little skeptical. They don't say anything there. A couple holes later, he has a very similar out of bounds. And he goes to take another drop. And Victor Hovland basically calls him out. And is just like, I think, which to Stugatz's point, every golfer, if you're playing for money and in a competition, you have these arguments of, no, I think your drop is back here. The ball went in there. And it was just an 8-minute. You get to hear inside the ropes and you hear them arguing. And the takeaway was, Victor and Justin Thomas basically being like, keep an eye on this guy.
It was actually pretty cool because it was a long amount of time that the broadcast was essentially hijacked by these golfers having this argument, because there was no actual footage of where the ball went out. That's why you have the two sides of the story, and you have the solution that Rory pitches to the other golfers.
He's like, I'm pretty sure I saw it hit the land before it went in.
Let's just split the difference, which is super guilty.
You never split the difference. He hit it with the I'm pretty sure.
No, but the weekend golfer splits the difference all the time. I mean, that's a conversation that me and Chris would have on the course.
By the way, if you love golf, boy, do I have news for you. Go to levitardaf.com. You can sign up for our Merch Madness contest for March Madness. Go in there. Brackets are going to come out on Sunday, but you can sign up now. We'll send you an email and you can participate. Prizes include things from the website, so that's fun for golfers and basketball fans and people of every sport.
I was waiting to see how we brought it back to golf.
And all of us, no, to Billy's point, all of us are going to be filling out brackets, so you can compete against us, see if you can beat our brackets. Sign up now, and you will get an email Sunday.
Billy's point was if you love golf.
Yeah. This is for golfers and basketball fans alike.
Right, just sports lovers.
No one's excluded from this. Everybody.
Because basketball is a team sport, and golf is an individual thing, and merch
well,
madness
certain
is an
golf
individual
leagues
thing.
Are team sports, too, now.
Merch madness!
Mina Kimes, Love is Blind, is next.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.